To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I want to read this text that goes along with what we were just talking about. So if you missed it, I was looking at the Chiefs draft class, and I've noticed something with the Chiefs draft class. Usually at this point in the season, the Chiefs normally have one or two rookies that are in a position to help them. I mean, last year that player was Xavier Worthy, who really started to get going in the second half of the season and was really, really strong in the final 2 months of the season. In 2023, Rashee Rice, the exact same way. That team doesn't win the Super Bowl without the development for Rashee Rice and kind of turning things around. In 2022, you remember George Karlaftis really got hot, really got going. Trent McDuffie. I mean, we're talking about guys that developed as the season went on, were able to help and add a little bit of punch. And if you look at their draft class over the last couple of years, I would say that it's kind of tailed off in a little bit. I've seen people make this argument. I think it has some validity. I don't want to completely shoot it down. C-Dot, you got to remember where the Chiefs are picking. Some are probably not performing to their full potential, but some of it may just be these guys aren't that good. Who are some teams that are picking in the bottom 5 to 8 who have rookies that are really making a difference like that? This is where I think we're letting the Chiefs off the hook for just a little bit. When you look at the Broncos and the defense that they have built, now, I understand the argument is the Chiefs have been doing this for longer than them, which is a very, very fair point. But I think some of the issues that the Chiefs have, they just haven't drafted really well. Right now, the Chiefs have a DN problem. The Chiefs have drafted one good DN in the Brett Veach era, George Karlaftis. All the good DNs in the National Football League are not guys that were picked in the first round. Nick Benito, the best defensive player, best D lineman for the Broncos. He was the 64th overall pick a couple of years ago. He's a good player. Rob, the number 2 sack guy on the Denver Broncos is Jonathan Cooper, has 7.5 sacks. You want to know where Jonathan Cooper was drafted? In the 7th round. So again, we all understand. If you draft high in the draft, you got a better chance of hitting on good players. Like, I think we all fundamentally argue that thing. But man, some of it is draft development and who are you turning guys into? And when you have a defensive line issue like the Chiefs have, I mean, they've drafted one DN in the last 2 drafts. So you haven't taken a lot of swings at DN to be able to fix your problem. So right now, when you're trying to figure out how to generate a pass rush, if you're not going to spend the money in free agency to go outside of the nest and then spend money to go get them like the Broncos did, the Broncos went out and they gave Zach Allen 4 years, $100 million. He has 6.5 sacks this year. So if you're not willing to really pay for it from outside the organization, then you got to draft it and you got to develop it. And the Chiefs haven't developed defensive linemen. They haven't developed guys that have an ability to get after the other team's quarterback. Who are those individuals? Where have they come from? Because heading into this game, your leading sack guy has 5. Houston has 2 guys who have double digits so far this season. So I'm with you. Some of the problem is where they select. But just because this year we think they might select 17th doesn't mean you automatically have now solved all your problems in getting good starters. You got to find and identify who those starters are, and you got to develop them and turn them into something. And at least when it comes to defensive line, they just haven't taken a lot of swings lately in trying to address it. Where on the offensive line, they've taken a lot of swings. They've spent a lot over the last couple of years on offensive line. Simmons, 32nd overall pick. Kingsley Suamataia, 63rd overall pick. They went out and got Juwan Taylor in free agency. They went out and got Jalen Moore. They've spent a lot of money on their offensive line. They kind of let their defensive line kind of go by the wayside. They haven't drafted well enough, haven't replenished it, and now you head into the tail end of the season, and they're a team that hasn't really shown you an ability to get after the other team's quarterback.
I'm happy you brought up this Texter's point, and we don't have to spend too much time.
I bring it up because a lot of people have made that point. Late in the draft, but also some of this is just development. Some of it is development. Some of it is you got to be a team that can find a guy in the third, fourth, and fifth round, mm-hmm. and you got to have the ability to turn him into something. That's the job, too. The job is just not figuring out how to get the 11th pick to be a good player. It's figuring out how to get the player who drafted 97th overall, and the Chiefs, over the last 5 years, they've been pretty good at that. I mean, Trey Smith was not a high draft mm-hmm. pick.
Creed Humphrey, second round pick.
Jalen Watson, who you and I both think is about to get paid pretty big. Legarius Sneed. Man, the Chiefs used to live in that third and fourth round and fifth round and finding starters. I mean, this year, their third through fifth round, Ashton Gelati, Noel Williams, Jalen Royals, and Jeffrey Bassa. You can't count on them to give you anything heading into this Sunday's game. Nothing. You're not going to get anything from any of those guys. So some of it is just they've slipped up. Development, drafting, identifying talent, keeping the cupboard fresh. We talked about this when Mahomes got the deal. Hey, man, the best chance to win once you pay your quarterback is drafting and developing. I'm telling you, you can look at it right now. They have done a bad job drafting, and they have done a bad job developing. That's how we got here at 6-6.
I 100% agree with you, and I'm happy you brought it up for this reason. I think it is a fallacy by fans that if you draft late, you can't draft well. Some of the Chiefs' best players are not late round, but they're later in round picks. Travis Kelce's going to the Hall of Fame. Now, I know it's a different GM. He was a third round pick. Trent McDuffie is an all-pro. We think he's going to get paid. He was picked what? He was mid to late first round. It wasn't like he went third overall. Like, he's a good player. I know Karloftis is maligned recently by fans, but he's a solid NFL pass rusher. You found him at 30. Your best receiver you found in the second round with Rashee Rice. Like, Nick Bolton. Me and the text line might disagree about his value. He's this late second round pick. Like, I just totally dispute this notion, and it's not yours, it's the text lines, that, well, it's impossible to find good players late. No, it's not. It's harder. It takes more work. Your scouting department has to be perfect, and your development group has to be really good, but it's not like this impossible task. It can be done, and you're right. Up until basically last year's draft, it felt like we were celebrating Brett Veach for, oh, he did it again. Can you believe he got player X? I mean, even Isaiah Pacheco falls in this category. Again, I know their argument isn't dynamic. He's a good running back in the seventh round. It isn't just, well, we picked 31, so I guess we have no chance. The Eagles pick late, and they're good every year. I hate this notion. I'm happy you brought it up, and I'm happy you used the platform to dispel that notion, because it's just wrong.
All right, so let's talk about this as we head into the game. I would say that this has kind of developed into the big talking point for today. The Chiefs are going to have a banged-up offensive line heading into this matchup. They are not going to have Joshua Simmons at left tackle. Joshua Simmons is on the IR. He's probably not going to play for the rest of the year. Juwan Taylor is likely going to miss this game, and also Trey Smith is likely to miss this game. So 60% of your offensive line is going to be unavailable for this matchup. So that's one side of the story. The other side of the story is people are very, very confused at why the Chiefs are playing Wanye Morris at left tackle and not playing Jalen Moore at left tackle. Here is Nate Taylor. He was on the morning show earlier, and he thinks that this is a smokescreen.
My theory is this has to be a smokescreen, right? Because technically you did put it on tape because the game did not go the way you anticipated in Dallas, right? Hey, if Juwan Taylor gets hurt at halftime or he can't go in the second half, okay, well, the answer is, hey, you have to play Jalen Moore. He is your next guy up. Okay, totally makes sense. Uh-oh, there goes Josh Simmons' wrist. So, all right, well, we don't have, you know, we have Wanye Morris. We could do that. But I think it's a philosophical question about what Andy Heck and Andy Reid want from their backup tackles, where it's, hey, if you're on the field already, we don't necessarily want to switch positions in the middle of the game. Based on, you know, practice reps and all the things that happen, you know, leading up to the game. By the way, they only had one practice from, mm-hmm. you know, beating the Colts to playing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. All right, well, let me just put that out there in a press conference so that maybe, I guess maybe the Houston Texans will, like, treat it with, you know, validity. But, like, I understand why fans are, you know, up in arms about the possibility of Wanya Morris at left tackle when we've actually seen him play pretty well at right tackle on occasion, especially during his rookie season.
The Chiefs don't believe that Wanya Morris is a starting left tackle in the National Football League. Well, Carrington, how do you know? This is his third year on the team. That position was open for years. Wanya Morris has been right there on the team, available, and they've never really believed that he could do it. Really, at any point. In 2023, they had Donovan Smith. He came in, he played really well at left tackle, filled in nicely. In 2024, you would have thought that the job would have been his. We were kind of talking about it, like the job potentially was going to be his. They then gave it to Kingsley Suamataia. That was a failed plan on their part. They then spent the next 4 months trying to figure out who their left tackle would be, and they gave everybody a chance at left tackle. I joked earlier, but it's not really a joke. Man, DJ Humphreys isn't even in the league. This was a guy who wasn't playing. The Chiefs got him off of the injured list, tried to give him a chance. He got hurt his first chance, and we haven't seen him since then. Like, they were desperate last year to figure out left tackle. And if they didn't think that he was a solution last year, this year, they did everything to suggest to me that he's not the solution. When they spent the first-round pick on Joshua Simmons, and they gave more money to Jalen Moore, who at the time we thought was going to be their left tackle, obviously that ended up not being the case. I can't really explain it, and we'll play more audio for you guys. The only thing that makes sense to me is they rather have Jalen Moore go up against Will Anderson on the right side than have Wanya go up against him on the right side. That's the only logical thing to me based on what everybody is saying. Like, I got to trust our guest. I trust Nate's analysis and opinion on this. He's telling you that he thinks the Chiefs are putting out a smokescreen, even though their offensive coordinator came up and explained why they're doing this.
You know, as we go through that process with these players and where they're at for us, there's a little bit of a process between Coach Reed, Coach Heck, and where the guys are. So we all talk through that, and we end up making a decision on how that goes and with the guys. And then we leave it at that. And wherever it is, we want those guys to go out and do everything they can to trust their fundamentals and technique. Obviously, we're seeing a great pass rush. That's not telling anybody anything we don't know. So we got to find ways to be able to, in any way possible, give our guys the best advantage, you know, in when they play.
Is that prioritizing one position where they both feel comfortable with who you're playing against? Like,
no, I wouldn't say it's who you're playing against as much as just the discussion of, you know, what's best for those guys, where they're comfortable. And then in the end, whatever decision is made, you got to go with it.
So that is the offensive coordinator on why Wanya is playing left tackle and why Jalen Moore is playing right tackle. I gave you guys my theory. It's really the only thing that makes sense to me. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. I don't, based on their actions, I don't think they think that Wanya can play left tackle. If Wanya could play left tackle, last season would have went drastically different if that was the case. They got to so far, they'd rather have Joe Tooney play out of position than let Wanya play left tackle last year. They had an option of Wanya playing left tackle and keeping Joe Tooney at his natural position, and they thought to themselves, no, we are not going with this plan. So now going up against Danielle Hunter, the plan is to put Wanya out there at left tackle? All right, we'll see if that works. The Chiefs are going to have their hands full with the pass rush of the Houston Texans. I think outside of Denver, this is the best pass rush in the league. Denver just kind of beat you with sheer numbers. They just got three or four guys that can get after the other team's quarterback. I mean, Houston only has two guys that can really get after the quarterback. But we're talking about two guys that are going to have 15 sacks this year. And Will Anderson might be one of the five best young defensive players in the league. Like, he is a dog with the motor that can disrupt game plans. So the Chiefs' offensive line is going to have their hands full, especially with the limited resources that they have, with the amount of injuries that they have. All right, Rob, let's get to the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Catch us on the hits brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in Kansas. Baker University, forever in our orange era. Well, Carrington, as we inch closer and closer and closer to game time on Sunday Night Football, one thing is becoming clear, at least on this show. You are picking the Houston Texans. I want you to explain your reasoning and why you should believe fans should follow suit, because there are no football reasons, not lore, not nostalgia, not pedigree, to pick the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday.
I didn't say that. I want to be clear, at least, with what I said. I said a majority of the reasons that I have heard on why people think the Chiefs are going to win are all of those things. If your logic is the Chiefs have 15 and I'm not turning my back on 15 in a need to have it kind of game, I can live with that answer. Hey, the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes and the Texans got CJ Stroud. That's why I think the Chiefs are winning this game. You're allowed to think that. I'm picking the Houston Texans because if you could point to a thread of what kind of teams have given the Chiefs the most trouble over the last 5 years. Over this run, what kind of teams have really been a thorn in the side of the Chiefs? It has been really good defensive line when their offensive line has been banged up. And we've also seen what that effect has on Patrick Mahomes and what that effect has on the rest of their offense. When their offensive line is operating at 70% capacity and they're going up against a team that got dogs and can get after the other team's quarterback, and that's what I'm seeing from a Houston team. I'm seeing a Houston team that has won its last four games going up against a team that has lost three of its last four games. A team that is one-dimensional in Kansas City that doesn't really run the ball super effectively, and a team that is starting to get good contributions from their running game. We had Sean Pendergast on the show talking about some of the developments that they are seeing with Houston's offense heading into the second portion of the season.
The offensive line is protecting, whether it's Davis Mills or CJ Stroud, at a pretty good rate right now. They're running the ball decently, and they've started to get some contributions from some of the rookies that they drafted, namely Woody Marks, who's become their lead running back, and Jaden Higgins, who's become a really nice number two to Nico Collins in the passing game.
So I guess just to simplify, Rob, the way that I feel, I am seeing an ascending team, a team that is starting to put all of their pieces together and is heading into this home run stretch with all the confidence in the world. Houston, over the last month, they beat Jacksonville, they beat Buffalo, they went on the road and beat the Indianapolis Colts. We're talking about playoff teams. So a lot of the games that I think we play when it comes to kind of devaluing a team's schedule and what they've accomplished, you cannot do that with Houston over the last month. So Houston is the healthier team, they got the better defensive line, they got the better offensive line heading into this matchup, and they're playing with confidence right now. I just think they win a low-scoring kind of football game. This has like a 21-17 kind of energy to me, in which I think Houston is going to win this game. I think Houston's going to turn around and win their division. I'm just higher on Houston than I think you are. I think you have Jacksonville winning that division, where I have Houston winning the division.
I do have Jacksonville winning that division. Let me ask you this. You said it's going to be like a 21-17 type of game. I actually very much agree with you there. I don't think we're going to see some sort of shootout at Arrowhead. Like, if either team gets to 30, or actually either team gets to 25, I'd kind of be stunned.
Yeah, the game's over. I mean, I would be. If you're telling me this Chiefs team scores with their offensive line, if they score 27 points against this Houston team, hey, I'm wrong, and they're making the playoffs because they have unlocked something and they have figured something out. If they're moving the ball like that against this Texans team with the O-line, they're going to try it out there.
My question was this: the game you're describing that you anticipate seeing on Sunday, doesn't it sound eerily similar to the Colts game? Rock fight, close late in the fourth quarter. Chiefs offense get to make some plays. Chiefs defense get to make some plays against an offense we believe is inferior to the Chiefs defense. Haven't I seen this game once at Arrowhead? Isn't the Colts game kind of what you're describing? It's just you think the Texans can make the one or two plays different? Because for me, what you're describing is the Colts game, and I saw the Chiefs win the Colts game. Because when the going got tough, they had Patrick Mahomes and the opponent had Daniel Jones. And I like CJ Stroud. I actually, and you agree with me at the time, we're taking CJ Stroud over Bryce Young. I like CJ Stroud. I think Patrick Mahomes is light years better than him. And if this game is going to be a rock fight, your quarterback's going to make a couple plays. I trust 15 to make those plays more than number seven. Like, if this game goes that way, how is it different than the Colts game?
I think the difference is, at least for me, because I think it's a fair comparison. I think the difference for me is I think you are seeing that the Colts are also starting to leak oil. The Colts got off to a really, really hot start and were just beating up on people. They started the year 7-1. They went on the road and lost to Pittsburgh. They went on the road and lost to Kansas City. They just lost at home to Houston. We're going to move this thing further. I think Indianapolis is missing the playoffs. I think they are outright missing the playoffs. I think they are headed towards a Pittsburgh Steelers collapse in the second half of the season. They go on the road and play Jacksonville. Are you picking the Colts this week? I'm not picking them this week.
I have the Jags win the division, yeah. So no.
Are you picking them on the road against Seattle? Because you like Seattle.
Two teams I like back-to-back, Seattle, yes.
So pick it up then. The Colts are then 8-6 in that scenario. They got San Francisco, Jacksonville, then on the road at Houston. I think Indy might win one more game the rest of the season. So I'm not taking away from Kansas City's win, but I guess my point is I think Houston is a better, more balanced version of what Indianapolis is. I think Indianapolis's only chance to really beat you is their running back has to be otherworldly special. And in the last 2 weeks when they've lost, Jonathan Taylor ran for 58 yards against Kansas City and 85 yards against the Houston Texans. Shockingly enough, they lost and didn't score 21 points in either one of those games. So I think that's really their only chance of trying to figure it out. I think that Houston can beat you a couple of different ways. They also got their starting quarterback back. Woody Marks is having a decent second half of the season. We'll see how he develops. And I think outside of Denver, I think Houston has the best defense in the National Football League. I don't feel that way about the Colts.
That's fair. The major reason I am picking the Chiefs or the Texans is everything I think you're saying is accurate. I think one thing you're glossing over a little bit in this game is, man, the Texans' O-line is bad too. Now, their O-line is bad by design. I will never for the life of me understand why the Texans' offseason plan was, ooh, we have a good offensive lineman, let's trade him. Like, it'll make no sense to me ever. Their offensive line is bad, and their offense is, I don't want to say it's bad, but it's middling to mediocre. They've gotten hot recently, and they've won games, but it's not like they're winning games 28-13. Like, they are winning games by the skin of their teeth. They're kind of doing what the Chiefs did to an extent last year. They won a close game against the Bills. They've won close games against the Colts. They are surviving and advancing on the strength of their defense because their offense is just doing enough to get by. I think the Chiefs' defense can do enough where the Texans don't do enough to get by because they have a bad offensive line. I think a lot of the things you're saying for the Chiefs and their offensive line struggles against the Texans are fair. But I think we're ignoring the fact the Texans' offense is not that good at all. And the Chiefs defense, while flawed, is a good unit.
Yeah. And someone on the text line, I understand this point. This is the point that I was making yesterday. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, it makes me feel good to go against what you think because you've been wrong all year about the Chiefs. So I hope that you continue to be wrong. That's the point I made yesterday. I've been wrong on the Chiefs this year. I think we all have been wrong about the Chiefs this year. I thought they were going to win their division. I thought they had a chance to compete for the one seed. I didn't think we'd be having conversation about if they're going to make the playoffs or not. A large majority of us have been wrong so far about the Chiefs. And I think we are just all finding different exit points of when you were ready to get off of the train. Some of you guys are still on the train. I got off the train on Thanksgiving. I got out the train on Thanksgiving. I told you guys I was getting off the train. 7-5 and 6-6 are two drastically different things, and the Chiefs would have a little bit of kind of wiggle room to kind of head into this game. They also picked up a loss against the Dallas Cowboys. They also picked up a lot of injuries since then. Their left tackle broke his wrist and is out for the rest of the season since then, and they also don't have their right tackle since then. So, like, it was more than just losing the game to the Dallas Cowboys. This is now the most injured that they've been so far this season. They haven't really had to deal with the injury bug really outside of Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco missed that little bit of time, but outside of that, they've been relatively healthy. Man, they're going into a stretch in which they have zero margin for error. They cannot afford to lose any of these games while simultaneously being banged up and banged up at the one spot that we have seen them struggle to really overcome the injuries in that spot. We can keep this conversation going. 913-586-7965. Getting you ready for Sunday Night Football. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This.
Someone just texted in. This is right. Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, you got to remember most of the listeners are Chiefs fans, so they don't have the option of getting off the train like you do. That's fair. I agree. You could say a lot of things. You cannot say that I'm inconsistent. I told you guys this would happen if they lost to the Cowboys. I told you this. I was like, if they are 6-6, you are not going to be able to sell me now they're going 5-0. You will not be able to. They've been 500 for 3 months. And something has gone wrong in every month. You just not be able to sell it to me that they're going. And maybe your point is, well, I think they'll win this game and they'll trip up later. That's kind of your point, Rob. Like your point, Rob, is you think they will lose one of these three games. You just don't think they are losing this game.
Oh, they're losing one of these three games. Like, we have enough data points to know they're not going 5-0, or at least I don't believe they're going 5-0. Like, a lot of people are still holding out hope for a 5-0. And by the way, if you're a person holding out hope for a 5-0, it's 5-0 plus help to make the postseason. It's not just.
I actually don't know if they're going to need help if they end up getting it. Well, I'll tell you this, man. I can to look ahead. If they find out a way to beat Houston, I will pick them next week against the Chargers. Because if there is a team that is equally as banged up as the Chiefs is, it's the Chargers. I mean, their quarterback has a significant injury. They got left tackle.
He's playing Monday, or at least he keeps saying
he's playing. I don't know how healthy he is, though.
He keeps saying he's playing.
And it's one thing now to be unhealthy, and now you're going to do it, and it's 25 degrees outside in Kansas City, and the Chiefs know they need that game. I will pick the Chiefs to win that game if they do it. I'll pick them to lose that game.
That's right. Yeah, I do not believe they're going. And here's why I say they need help. And maybe this is semantics. If the Colts end up winning the division, which I know you don't believe is going to happen, you don't believe they're a playoff team. If the Colts end up winning the division, now the Jags are in the wild card spot, you lose a tiebreaker to the Jags. The Chargers have a better AFC record than the Chiefs. Even if the Chiefs go 5-0, the Chargers will likely have a better AFC record than the Chiefs. They are going to be in a wild card spot. They're not catching Denver. They will have a tiebreak over the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's say that somehow, some way, the Ravens claw all the way back and become AFC North champions. Well, again, we don't know what's going to happen in the last 5 games. As it currently sits, the Chiefs don't have an AFC tiebreak over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Where I say they need help is they need the right teams to win the divisions, or if everyone ends up 11-6, you're going to lose a tiebreak potentially to Pittsburgh. You're going to lose a tiebreak potentially to the Chargers. You're going to lose a tiebreak potentially to the Jags. Like, that's where the help comes in. You can't have everything break just wrong and then go 5-0 and be in. You have to get a little bit of help from your friends down the line, which, no sympathy for the Chiefs. They did this to themselves. But yes, I don't think they're going 5-0 in this stretch.
Yeah, I'm also guessing then, I mean, you know how this is. Like, I think the Colts are going to fade. If the Chiefs go 5-0, things will likely end up breaking their way because some team is just going to falter down the stretch.
It'll be the Colts. The Colts is the answer.
People are just thinking that team won't be Kansas City, that it's going to be this team or this team or this team. Like, Kansas City is going to be the team that gets right and gets healthy and starts playing good football, and they're playing their best football heading into it. But we got to see how the rest of the kind of the regular season plays itself out. I want to play this for you. This was Mina Kimes. The biggest thing for me, and if the Chiefs want to, I guess, win me back over and get me back on their side, I got to see two things drastically improve. They have to be much better at getting to the other team's quarterback. They got to clean up those mistakes, because the theme this week, I think, from the Chiefs has been one or two plays. Hey, we are real close. We just got to make these one or two plays, and that will ultimately be the difference in these losses and now turning them into wins. Man, those one or two plays are sometimes self-inflicted. You make the mistake that then takes a first down or a touchdown off the board, or you can't get to the other team's quarterback. It's 3rd and 15. They then get a completion like happened against the Broncos. They have 2 third-down conversions on that final drive, kick a game-winning field goal, and ultimately go win the game. They have to figure out a way to get pressure on the other team. Here's Mina Kimes.
Brings me to the Chiefs, who cannot get after the quarterback. If the Chiefs miss the playoffs, this is why. So they blitz Dak. He's picked. You're thinking, whoa, Spags, back. After the pick against the blitz, and they continue to blitz him at a really high rate because they do not have a 4-man rush outside of Chris Jones. And if Chris Jones doesn't go crazy, they're screwed. Dak went 15 for 18 for 190 yards. When they blitz, they are 28th in pressure rate, 31st in yards per play, 25th in success rate. 2022 through 2024, so the previous 3 years, they were 1st in yards per play, 2nd in pressure rate, 3rd in success rate. So they've gone from being one of the best and most effective blitzing defenses to one of the worst by a pretty significant margin. So when people talk about the Chiefs and they're like, well, like, who's different? What's going on? That's it.
If the Chiefs are going to right the ship and start playing better football, that is number one. I guess number two. Number one is them getting healthy and getting right. It's just going to be hard to run through this stretch with the amount of injuries that they have up front. It's hard to win without your starting left tackle, right tackle, and your right guard. That's just that's a significant chunk out of anybody's offense. Also hard to string those wins together if you can't get pressure on the other team's quarterback. And when you're going up against C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, and Herbert down this stretch, man, you got to get to a couple of those guys. And maybe that means the Chiefs just take more chances and continue to be more aggressive and continue to roll the dice. But if you're not going to be able to get pressure with your front four, and they haven't been able to get pressure with their front four, then you got to scheme something up, or you got to gamble, or you got to take a chance. You can't continue to sit back and continue to get beat on those third and long scenarios and keep the defense on the field.
I mean, it has been what has plagued the Chiefs all season long. Now, I think there's a chance it looks better this week because, I mean, I can't emphasize enough, the Texans' O-line is not good, and it's not good by design. But what's concerning to me is the second part of Mina's quote. The 4-man pass rush thing we've talked about ad nauseum. The fact that when they're blitzing, they are barbecue chicken is a problem. Because Spags is inherently a blitzer. Like, we've talked a lot about the games they've won this year, and I mentioned the Colts game a lot today. One thing that happened in the Colts game is Spags started blitzing. He was not going down. That was fastball. That's his go-to pitch. That's his go-to move. He's a blitzer. Well, it sounds like it's damned if you do, damned if you don't this year for the Chiefs defense. You don't blitz, you get cooked. The numbers are showing you do blitz, barbecue chicken alert. That, I don't know if that's the pass rush, the secondary, both, all of it, coaching. I don't know what it is. It's probably all the above. But the alarming thing is, for a team that likes to blitz as much as they do, they are so unsuccessful, because you'd figure that's the solution to the 4-man pass rush problem, but somehow, some way, that's technically worse.
Someone on the text line asked, why would the Chiefs lose the tiebreaker to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Right now, the Chiefs would lose the tiebreaker to the Steelers because the Steelers have a better record in the AFC than the Chiefs. The Steelers' record in the AFC is 5-3. The Chiefs' record in the AFC is 3-4. Now, obviously, if the Chiefs go 5-0 down the stretch, that would then put them at 8-4 in the AFC. We'll have to figure out where Pittsburgh kind of lands in that. But that's why right now, even though Pittsburgh and Kansas City are both 6-6, the Pittsburgh Steelers currently have the tiebreaker because they have been the better AFC team. So in some ways, I mean, it is good that the fact that the Chiefs have all of their NFC games out of the way, and just more importantly than them just going 5-0, you got to start winning these games. And of all of these teams that we think are in contention to make the playoffs, they're the only team that has a losing record in the AFC. Like all of these other teams that we talk about, that we discuss, I mean, Cincinnati is even 4-4 in the AFC. Now, some of that home road splits, all of those kind of things. But that's also going to be something that the Chiefs need to write in this second half as well. They can't afford to lose, period. They certainly can't afford to lose any AFC game, where if you go into it at 10-7 and you are 6-5 in that scenario in AFC games, that might be the thing that ends up costing you big because you lose the AFC tiebreaker to any of those teams.
This is why I said they need help. Now, I think some of this help is possible to get. Like, if you look at each team that's in the playoff push, how their seasons will shake out. But as they currently sit, they don't have a ton of tie breaks, and they're outside the playoffs. So again, they're the 10 seed right now. Like, we don't really talk about 10 seeds in the NFL playoffs. They are likely to get some of that help because I know the Steelers play the Ravens. They're going to have to – an AFC loss could happen in that game. The Colts have, I believe, all but one AFC game left. They could pick up AFC losses. But as it currently sits – they are behind the eight ball with tie breaks and where they sit, which is why I mentioned the help is needed, or not a lot, but some 100%. Help is needed.
And to your point about tiebreakers, when it comes to the Texans, I mean, that would just be another team that you are directly competing for a wild card spot. Because even if I'm wrong on Houston, and let's say you think Jacksonville wins the division, if Jacksonville ends up winning the division, that's just another wild card team you don't have the tiebreaker on. The Chiefs will likely not have the tiebreaker against the Chargers. The Chargers are undefeated in their conference, are undefeated in the division at 4-0, and also 7-2 in the AFC. So if those two teams finish with the same record, the Chargers will get the tiebreaker. You don't have it against Buffalo. You wouldn't have it against Houston. You also wouldn't have it against Jacksonville if something changes in that regard too. So just from a tiebreaker standpoint, like if you're telling me now we play the game, you can only lose one more game, the answer is probably Denver. Denver's just going to let Denver win the AFC West and then focus on all of those other games and just kind of go from there.
Although that kind of hurts your AFC record. But
for sure, yeah. But I'm saying, I mean, they can't really lose,
can't
period, but you
that.
Can pick one of those games to lose. The Broncos game would be the one. Just let them win the division. I would be stunned if the Broncos ended up as a wild card team. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about Thursday Night Football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
We got a playoff game tonight in the National Football League. Yes, we do. It is the Dallas Cowboys on the road playing the Detroit Lions. Now, I know you might not be keeping up with the NFC standings, and that's perfectly fine, but that's why I'm here to give you the numbers on the NFC. The Lions are 7-5. The Cowboys are 6-5-1. You cannot make the playoffs if you are either one of these teams, in my opinion, if you lose this game. Especially when, when you are looking at the teams that have the wild card spots. Seattle is a wild card team at 9-3. The Packers are a wild card team at 8-3-1. So you would have to assume that either Chicago or Green Bay is going to win that division. So one of those teams has one of those playoff spots. Another one of those playoff spots is going to go to the second place team in the NFC West. So whether that's the Rams or the Seahawks. And then you got San Francisco right now that is 9-4 or that is 9-4. So, I mean, it's no guarantee. Like, winning this game doesn't mean you will make the playoffs. Losing this game means you got a lot of work to do the rest of the way. I think the Cowboys go on the road, and I think they do it. I think the Cowboys are going to win this game. I don't trust the Lions' defense at all. I think the Cowboys are just...
You trust the Cowboys' defense?
I think their defense has gotten noticeably better since the beginning of the season. Their defense was terrible. In the
It was impossible to get worse, though. It was a very, very low bar.
Their defense since the Broncos game has been fine. Their defense the last couple of weeks, it's been fine. And they can just, this team can score. Now, I mean, they haven't gone on the road and proven it against anybody this year. So, I mean, seeing is believing with them. I mean, they went on the road and lost to the Eagles, lost to the Bears on the road, lost to the, like, they lost every road game they've had so far this season other than the game in Las Vegas, which that does not count as a road win, especially when it's the Cowboys. That was a home game. They just played in a different place. So, yeah, I mean, you got to prove it if you were them, but I don't know. I'm picking Dallas today. I think Dallas wins this game. Who do you got?
I think the Lions are the better team, but there's just, you mentioned not trusting their defense. Man, the Lions' offense feels broken recently. Like, what happened? Like, they demoted their offensive coordinator. Dan Campbell's calling the plays. I know everyone's going to point to, well, it goes on for fourth down too often, but I mean, he was going for it on fourth down this often last year, and their offense was humming. This year, it feels like they're just like, spinning their wheels. They can't get anything going. I just saw come across Amon-Ra St. Brown will play, but I mean, their offense just is a slog at times, but I still think they're the better team. So I think Detroit's going to run over Dallas tonight and Dallas playoff dreams die.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. This is as good of a Thursday night football game that I think you can ask for. I don't really know if you could have a better Thursday night game in terms of importance. I mean, we have, I would say, another really good one, two really good ones if you're counting Christmas Day. So we have Los Angeles on the road against Seattle. So the Rams on the road against Seattle, which is just going to be a super important game in the division. And then the final Thursday game of the year is actually the Christmas Day game between the Chiefs and the Broncos. So, I mean, the NFL people, they ended up getting it right this time. They got it right this year when it came to the Thursday night football schedule at the end of the year. I mean, three of the last four games on Thursday just have super, super importance. So, yeah, I'm picking Dallas to go on the road, and I'm picking them to win today. Do you have a touchdown bet for today?
Well, I will say the one bet I definitely have for today If you live in Missouri, go to FanDuel and get a free $50.
No, man, we don't want you over there, man. Don't come over on our side.
I've already taken care of it. I already crossed the lines this morning to get my bet in. One plus, you know what I want? You know what bet I really want? One plus point score tonight.
You don't care who gets it. You don't care who scores.
What I want is to turn the game on after dinner and kind of clean it up and see it's 3-0. Cool. Points have been scored. What I don't want is the Justin Herbert scenario playing out ever again. If I had an actual bet to play, I think I would play the Lions to cover. I think the Lions are just going to win the game and take care of business.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys. I'm probably, even though I think they're going to win, let me give myself a little bit of wiggle room. Let me take them with the 3.5 points. Let me go ahead and do that. Let me take them there, and I'll probably end up taking a touchdown bet. You know, they always have that, like, who has the first touchdown? You get, like, a pool if you get it. I'll probably end up playing that as well. I'll probably end up playing George Pickens to score a touchdown in this game. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun. We'll get you ready for Chiefs and Texans tomorrow on Sunday Night Football. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.